Bill's going to go ahead and do our scripture reading this morning out of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
That's God's promise to us this morning, that if we come to Him, He is going to fill us. And that's our purpose for coming to service, so that we can sit under God's Word and be filled. Because it's like our body needs water, right? Needs food, nourishment. Our spirit needs nourishment, and that's the Word. So this morning, I do have a silly story I want to share, but it pertains to the message this morning. It goes like this. It says, a man took a walk with his dog, and he got to a lake. He picked up a stick, and he threw the stick in the lake. The dog walked on the water, picked up the stick, brought it back to the man, and the man goes, no way! I'm losing it. I can't believe nobody's ever going to believe this just happened. So he thought, I know what I'll do. I will bring a neighbor friend tomorrow, and we'll come to the same spot, and I'll do the same thing. So the next day, he brings his neighbor with the dog, the same lake. He picks up the stick. He throws the stick in the lake. The dog walks on the water, picks up the stick, and he brings it back. He turned around to his neighbor, and he said, did you notice anything unusual about my dog? The neighbor said, well, yeah, I did. Well, what did you notice? The neighbor says, the dog can't swim. Now, you say, well, okay, Pastor Bonnie, now I'm curious. Where are you going to go with this? Well, the thing is, the neighbor didn't see the obvious, did he? He didn't see the obvious. He was looking at what? The negative. The dog could not swim. Okay? But I want to share, when I heard this story, I thought that in itself was a lesson learned. Okay? We need to look at the obvious. We can go outside and look at the obvious, the beauty of God's creation. That's pretty obvious, like the dog walking on the water, right? Okay? Pretty obvious. But this man goes on to share this. He's a speaker, a known speaker, known throughout the world. His name, they call him John, J. John, they call him. I think his real name, his first name is Cannon, C-A-N-O-N, something like that. Travels all over the world. But this is what he says. Are you ready for this? He goes, the man who shared this humorous story said he was a little bit like this neighbor at one time. He said, I didn't believe in God. I was an agnostic. And I love what he goes on to say. He said, do you know what the Latin word for agnostic is? Ignoramus. I don't know whether that's true or not. But anyway, I thought it was funny. But so anyway, he said, I was pretty ignorant at one time. I was pretty ignorant. I didn't believe in God. But you know, you ready for this? He goes, but my understanding of Christianity was a misunderstanding. And that is true. You know, sometimes we're hard on the one that doesn't believe. But just like Caroline shared about Johnny, it was a misunderstanding that he had, wasn't it, Caroline? He was led astray by a misunderstanding. So when you said that this morning, I'm going, Lord, it's like his way of saying, this is what I wanted you to do today. And Caroline's going to come and she's going to share that. Again. When I read this and I heard this guy share this story or share this silly story and then share his story, kind of give his testimony, it made me think of the parables in the Bible and how Jesus gave us parables to teach us to understand who he was, who he is, and what he came to do when he was here on this earth. So there are five things Jesus teaches us through parables. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. When Jesus was with us on the earth and ministered, again, what did he use? Stories or parables that could illustrate. They would illustrate an important point or a spiritual lesson or a spiritual growth. So how many of you, when I shared this story about the dog going after the stick, couldn't you kind of visualize, in a sense, this dog running, he sees the stick go, and you see the dog take off? Well, it takes a good imagination to see this dog walk on water, right? But the point being is you can image it. You can imagine it, right? You can imagine when somebody tells you a story, you're going to kind of imagine it in your mind, okay? And that's what Jesus was doing when he used parables. He was wanting to get an image placed in you so that it would help you what? It would bring out important points of what he was trying to teach, number one. Number two, he was trying to give us a spiritual lesson without us maybe even realizing it. Okay? He was feeding our spirit, just like we're getting this morning. We're getting fed by the Word of God. But also, it's causing spiritual growth. Okay? Jesus, of course, also is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he knew that by telling engaging and interesting parables or stories, that he would draw his people in. He would draw his followers, his disciples, his followers into him by sharing stories. And sometimes he would communicate, though, difficult things or perhaps painful, you know, truths that we wouldn't otherwise accept or receive very well if it wasn't done through a parable. Think about that. If somebody was to come up to Tim and say, Tim, you know, negative, 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 he's not going to be very receptive to that. But if I said to Tim, oh, did you hear about this guy who did this, this, and this, and this, and yet God worked in him and did this, this, and this, Tim can walk out of there saying, you know what, that's kind of been something I've been dealing with, and knowing that this other guy, you know, went through this and God was able to do this, maybe I need to consider this. So sometimes it's a good way to learn through parables or through stories of other people. Okay? Let's go on here. Jesus knew how to get a story across. He knew that his listeners, when he would say something, they would hang on to his every word. And they were waiting for the conclusion to the parable. You know, when he would share a parable, he would kind of maybe even ask a question. And he would draw that person in. Somebody would, you know, share or say, well, when he asked a question, they would answer that question. So it would draw the people in. And the thing about parables also, they had power behind them. When it has power behind it, what I mean by that is it's easier to hear the truth about our sinful way, just like the example I gave about Tim, when we hear it about maybe someone else instead of ourselves. But yet we know that we're struggling with that same sin or that same error or that same dilemma. It could be just a dilemma that we're going through, not so much a sin, but a problem, something that we need to overcome, but we can't do it. But when we hear it through a parable or a story, we might learn something from it that helps us to overcome. So we don't mind so much when we hear the truth about someone else, even if it applies to us. So parables help in that respect. We tend to be able to grasp spiritual truths and the beauty and the reality of our salvation by Christ and his atoning work on the cross for us when it's told through illustration. Like last year when Terry and Paul did the skit with baby Jesus. It was, it's something that I'll always remember. But it was done through illustration. Okay? Now, before I go any further, Jesus told 22 parables recorded in the book of Matthew. He did 10 parables in the book of Mark, 10 parables in the book of Luke, totaling 42 parables. Now, if we take these parables at face value, the parables Jesus told seem like tales, if we took them at face value, okay? Or it would be like a how-to guide to life, okay? Just another way to find success, another book on the shelf like that. But parables themselves present clear stories from everyday events that happened back then. When he would share these parables, these people could relate to them because the stories were about things that they were going through, like sowing the seed. They sowed seed. The talents. There's just so many different parables that we're going to, kind of dig into a little bit today that make us realize that they could relate to those parables. We still today can relate to those same parables. Now, another thing that we got to realize, too, that when he did a parable, shared a parable, he didn't use a code or a riddle. Every parable that he did or spoke about, you could easily understand it just as much back then as we understand it today. There was no foggy areas or areas where you weren't sure about. It was pretty well cut and dry. You could understand that story. You could understand that parable and be able to apply it. So there was no code, no riddle to it where you had to try to figure it out, okay? All those that gathered there certainly comprehended the aspect of the story or the parable related, because it related to their everyday life. But the thing about the parables was this. This is what happened when that group of people listened to the parable. One thing did happen. There was a division. What I mean by that was, this whole group of people, there was a group that didn't believe in what he was saying, and there was a group that did believe in what he was saying. Right there is where it divided that group of people when they heard that parable. And a good example of a parable that talks about that is out of Matthew 13, where it says the story of the seed falling on the various places. It talks about the seed, if it lands or drops in rocky ground, what's going to happen? It might grow for a little bit, but eventually it's going to what? It's going to die, just like my arborvitae died last week. It died because I didn't plant it correctly. Okay? So another way it talks about, if you plant the seed on fertile ground, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. It's going to survive. And that's what this parable is saying. So that's actually telling us about these two groups. So it goes on to say here, these committed to the kingdom of God would seek and find further understanding. But those who were uncommitted, listening only because of the initial excitement, would reject the teaching and they would call it unintelligible. Unintelligible. They would, or come up with an excuse. Oh, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that stuff. That's way out there. You know, or an excuse. I don't have time for that. Or that's not the way I was raised. Okay? So they would justify not accepting that story or that teaching. So again, I'm going to review that again. So for those whom Christ was transforming by his life and by his words, those parables would work and soften a hardened heart. Okay? Those parables, that's one of the things that its objective was, to soften a hardened heart, but also to change a mindset that someone maybe was brought up in a certain way or whatever. But then those who merely were excited, okay, they see Jesus doing miracles, they hear what he's saying, and now they're getting excited, but then it doesn't stay with them. That's what the parables were to do. When he shared the parables, it was so it would stick like glue to them. But yet he knew that there was going to be some that would justify their excuse or whatever. They would walk away from it. So this morning we're going to talk about how we can learn from the parables from Jesus. So out of the book of Luke, the first one is, great stories teach us something about God. So in Luke 15 it says, Jesus tells a parable about a lost sheep, which once found is rejoiced over by the shepherd. And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need repentance. Now, what does this parable tell us? It tells us that God is loving, God is tender, God is merciful, God is forgiving. But listen to this part again. That there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need repentance. Right there, I don't know how many times I've read that, and it never really struck me until, you know, maybe a year ago. 99 righteous who need repentance. God and Jesus left the 99 who need repentance to go find the one that's lost who wants to repent. Think about it. Those 99 righteous who need repentance could be the Sadducees, the Pharisees. Jesus left them to go find the one who was truly lost and truly, I mean, 99 were truly lost too, but were they truly repentant? Those 99, some of those 99 felt like the only way I'm going to get to heaven is by my works, or the only way I can get to heaven is by the legalistic law of Moses. So this parable is telling us that we need to, what's the word I'm looking for? Understand that Jesus has that characteristic about him to stop everything to get to you. Just like Johnny, who went astray, God saw to it that he brought somebody across his path to bring him back on the right track. God stops everything to get to that. So number two, great stories teach us something about ourselves. How about Matthew 25, the parable of the talents? You know, we think that when God gives us a talent, a gift, that, oh, let's go run with it. How many of us watch, and I'm not trying to put the program down, but it's AGT TV or The Voice or whatever. They think that that's all there is to life, is, you know, using their talent out there in the world. But here's Johnny that Caroline's talking about this morning, who's deaf. He doesn't certainly see being deaf being a talent, but it is a gift, right? Because look what it's doing. That gift, as much as you don't want to see it as deaf being a gift, that tool is going to help him help others and minister to them, and not in a way nobody else that experiences deaf can do. I mean, he can say, I am where you're at. I've been there, done that. I know what you're walking in. I know the valley that you're living in. I can help you. We can do this together. You can relate to me. I can relate to you. That's what these parables are telling us. Jesus is saying, I can relate to you, and you can easily relate to me, but you got to click in. You got to connect. And that's what these parables are telling us to do. So, again, this parable here in Matthew 25 is telling us our talents aren't our own. Our talents, our gifts, are to be used to give glory to God. Number three, great stories illustrate our need for someone. Matthew 18, parable of the unmerciful servant. Jesus tells a man who owed the king a large sum of money, and when he could not pay it back, the king ultimately spared his life and forgave him his debt. But that same man would not forgive the small debt another man owed him. And when the king learned of this, he had him thrown into jail because he would not show the same kind of mercy the king himself had extended. So Jesus was showing us our need. Just as Jesus forgave us, just as the Father God forgave us of our sins, you know, mercy's not getting what you do deserve, grace is getting what you don't deserve. You know, we've got to realize that gift was given to us. We're not supposed to keep hold of that gift of unforgiveness. We're to take that gift and apply it to our unforgiveness for the next person that we need to forgive. And I just saw a movie the other day, 2 days ago, of a man who was put in prison, falsely accused. They actually proved that he was not, he was innocent of this wrongdoing. He was in prison for 20-some years for something he did not do. And again, they found that he was not guilty. He ends up getting a good settlement. But when he comes out, of course, now they're thinking this man's got, he's hard-nosed now because he's been in that environment. And he's going to have unforgiveness. He's going to be, you know, who knows what he's thinking about trying to get even because he's been in prison for 20 years for something he didn't do. He found Christ in there. He found the Lord in there. And when he came out, he goes see his father who's got Alzheimer's. And he visits with him and stays, you know, tries to visit with him as much as he can before his father passes away. And then when he finally gets the final on the papers that he is free, it shows his character because he has Christ in it. It shows the people that he meets along the way. And some people find out that he wasn't in prison, and they're hard-nosed with him, and they're cold to him, and they don't trust him, and yet he still does what Jesus does. He still shows love and compassion. He's not angry. He's not angry because he was put in prison. He's not bitter. He just continued to show God's love. He came out proving that whatever he picked up in jail was real. It was the real deal. So, through this particular parable, we're learning, are we the real deal? Like this guy who was forgiven of his debt, and yet when it came to being owed some money, he didn't show unforgiveness. So was he the real deal? No, he was not. Even though he was forgiven, he wasn't the real deal because he didn't forgive the guy who owed him money. So we learned something from that parable. Number four, great stories serve as a guide. Matthew 22, Jesus tells the parable of the marriage feast, where people are invited to come to the wedding, and some of them don't accept the invitation. The parable serves to guide us to the truth that there are those who know Christ. Get this, they know Jesus, but they what? But they refuse to have him be their Lord and Savior. They know of him, they know about him, but do they know him as their Lord and Savior? In the end, this parable is telling us, for many are invited, but few are chosen. With what kind of guidance, our choice to follow Christ gains clarity and perhaps resolve as well. So again, if we don't accept that invitation to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Simple as that. That's what the parable is telling us. Number five, great stories, the last one, tells us about a hero. How many of us love to see a hero when we're watching a story? We like to see the good guy win, right? All the time. Well, it talks about in Psalms 118, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, Jesus. He is our foundation. He is our hero. He is the one that comes in and saves the day. And he was the real deal, because when I read Luke 23:24, it says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." It was at that very moment that he's being crucified. The intense pain that his body endured is going to come to an end. But still, after all of that, degrading mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, the battle that he endured, he says to the Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." They didn't understand. Just like the man who was an agnostic. He said, "I didn't understand." That's what the parables are here to do. They're here to help us to understand. The parables, with all these stories and all other stories that are in the Bible, remind us of our need for a Savior, our need to accept the one who went to the cross for our sins, to back us up. He is our ultimate hope. Parables are a compelling means by which God, our good shepherd, gently leads his people back, just like he did John. He draws them gently back to him. Now, just as I opened up this morning, silly story, I'm going to share this one. And again, it does pertain to this message. It goes on and says, on this double-decker bus, there was a big sign that showed a picture of an egg and a bacon. And underneath that picture, it said, "The Great British Breakfast." As the bus traveled on a country road, it went past this farm. Can you picture some of this? Good, because that's what a parable does. It helps you picture. So they're going past this farm on the bus. The bus is going past this farm. And in the field on this farm was a chicken and a pig standing side by side. And the chicken turned to the pig and he said, "Look, look, we're famous, we're famous. We're on this big bus. It talks about us, you and me, egg and bacon. We're the Great Breakfast, British Breakfast." The pig turns to the chicken and he says, "Well, that's all right for you, isn't it? You only have to make a contribution by laying an egg. But for me, it cost me my life." Jesus Jesus doesn't want us to just contribute. Oh, I know about you, God. I know about you, Jesus. That's a contribution. I know. I know. He doesn't want us to just be a contribution or give a contribution. He wants all of us. Saint Augustine wrote this. This Christ is not valued at all unless he be valued above all. Christ is not Lord at all unless he is Lord of all. Isn't that what the parable is trying to tell us? Isn't that what it's trying to teach us? Isn't that what the parable is trying to do? To teach us spiritual lessons, to help us also grow spiritually? That God sent his son Jesus to be the author and finisher of our faith, to be our cornerstone, to be our foundation, our redeemer, our deliverer, our counselor, our advocate, our intercessor, our provider, our prince of peace. He's all of those things. He's our all in all. But don't let us be like this neighbor that didn't see the obvious. The obvious is right here. The obvious is when you hear and you feel the presence of God and you hear the word of God. That's obvious. And when we see the obvious, what do we see? We see the promised Messiah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that Bill read this morning, that was the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's what we're to experience when we come in here. We're to go out of here because we are filled. To forgive, to share what we've learned today, what we've received. It's like Russ and I are doing this breakfast today. We brought in our blessing, be it time or material-wise, whatever it is, we bring it so that we can bring it to you. But that holds true with unforgiveness and bitterness, anger, all the negative stuff. We've got to let that stuff go. And we've got to allow that seed that's been planted in us to bear fruit. But if we don't follow through, then what are we? Are we the real deal? Are we going to be like the man who, you know, was forgiven and yet not forgiven? I ask you to speak. Pull up Google and write down. Type in here. And pull one up and find one that really strikes you. And if you would, I would really appreciate it. If you would, not homework, but if you would find a parable, you can say, you know, I really related to that. And this is why I related to it. Let's go ahead and close the prayer. Father God, that peace that comes through faith in you surpasses all human understanding. So help us to keep our faith alone in you, that we would have that peace and not falter in our thinking and in our actions, Lord. The world wants to destroy that peace that we have found through faith in you. So protect our minds, protect our hearts, protect our spirits from the things of this world, and help us to walk in your word and in the precious gift of faith and in the precious gifts that you have given us. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Let us stand for our closing hymn number.